Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel which Jonathan has just read, specifically the last half of verse 31 and verse 32, which read, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." This is the word of the Lord this morning, given to us under the theme, "Jesus is truth and freedom." Please be seated. My dearest friends in Christ Jesus, I never saw this happen, but I was told by family members that it would happen almost every morning. My grandfather would rise and put on his boots, and as he was heading out the door, my Uncle Dennis would come running at him and cling to his leg. Even sitting on his foot, he refused to let go of his dad because he didn't want his dad to leave for the day. He was so attached to my grandfather, to his dad, that he actually cleaved to his leg. He would not let go. It finally became so bad that my grandfather would go out into the garage and put on his boots and leave, knowing that Uncle Denny couldn't see him then. Cleaves or hold fast. Jesus tells us this morning that you are to abide in my word. Abide, that's an interesting word. It can be translated as cleaves, as my Uncle Diddy did to his dad's leg, my grandfather's leg. It could also mean to hold fast, to never let go, to remain in Jesus' word. John writes later in his second letter, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." Abiding, cleaving, holding fast to the Word. My friends, that's a mark of a Christian. That's what a Christian does. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us this morning, a person who does that, that you are truly my disciple. Now, yes, I know that when you hear the word disciple, you probably think of Peter. Or maybe you think of James or John or one of the other nine. Well, we usually don't think of Judas Iscariot, so let's make it the other eight. But what truly is a disciple? My friends, each and every one of you sitting here this morning, whether you knew it or not, but now you will know it, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. For what is a disciple? A disciple is one who hears, a learner, a student, a pupil, a person who hears and understands and believes and follows. A person who is a disciple is one who will abide in his word. And therefore, when a person abides in the Word, who cleaves, who holds fast to this Word, the world will know that they are a disciple. And your pastor knows that you will be a disciple. And you know that you are a disciple. As a matter of fact, Luke writes in the 11th chapter of Acts, "In Antioch," which is now in modern-day Turkey, "the disciples," those who were followers, those who were pupils, "were first called Christians." For you see, a person who says that they are a Christian, they are a disciple. But you know, it's much more than that, my dear friend. It's rather easy for a person to say that they are a Christian, because words are easy, but sometimes actions are hard. And our actions will always, always, always betray our words. You see, a person who can't abide, a person who refuses to hold fast, a person who refuses to cling to the Word, how can they say they are a Christian? How can they say they are truly a disciple of Jesus? How can they be a Christian when they willfully stand here and confess their faith, and then the next Sunday we never see them, and the following Sunday we never see them, and a year we never see them, and 10 years, and 20 years, and 30 years? Are they abiding in the Word? Are they here to hear what Jesus has to say to them, to proclaim to them the forgiveness of their sins, to serve them, body and blood? You see, it's easy to say that I'm a Christian, but we must exercise the word that we say. For a Christian will truly cling to, be here, to listen, to partake, to receive. That's the Christian. That's the disciple. You see, Luther applied this during the Reformation. For there are many people in the early church who were saying that they were Christians, but they certainly didn't act like Christians. And that included the priests themselves. While Luther was in Rome, he saw many immoral acts by the priest. And as Luther wrote, "I went there to Rome with onions, but I returned with garlic." He went to Rome a little sour, but he came back very, very bitter because of the cesspool that he saw in Rome. Rome was to be that city, that shining city on the hill. But as Luther saw for himself, it was nothing but a shining city on the hill. It was a cesspool of sin and of depravity, of men who said they were holy, but they were anything but holy. Luther returned back and began studying the Scripture. He began studying and writing, and finally the Holy Spirit revealed to Luther the very spark that started the Reformation. And why, my dear friends, we are here today to remember the Reformation. Oh no, see, it wasn't Luther who started the Reformation. It was the Holy Spirit who started the Reformation. For as Luther read these words and pondered these words, The spark was there. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous cannot live by works. The righteous cannot live by what they say. The righteous can only live by having faith in what Jesus has done for them, by being here and listening and hearing the gospel, by hearing that their sins are forgiven, by hearing that Jesus went to the cross for them, and here he died for them. And there at the cross, their sin was washed away. "The one who by faith is righteous shall live, shall be steadfast, shall be immovable." For that's what a true Christian is. A true Christian stands on the rock, my friend. For that true Christian knows that the rock of God's word will never shake or quiver, and it will never ever sink, for it will stand forever. Jesus is that one who has taken the field, and no one can prevail against him. Soon you will sing those words. But Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? He describes the importance of clinging to his word. He tells us what it truly means to be a disciple. And then he says, "You shall know the truth." You shall know the truth. What is truth? Oh, you've heard that question before, haven't you? Today, in our world today, people will say, "Your truth is fine for you, but that's not my truth. You see, my truth is perfectly fine because my truth says that I can do this or that when I wish to do it and how I wish to do it. It's perfectly fine for me too," and you can fill in the blank. That's worldly truth. Those are people who are shackled by sin and by death and by the power of the evil one. That's human truth. Human truth is not truth. For human truth, dear friend, is based upon one thing and one thing only. Human truth is based upon sin. And we know where we get when we are sinners. Jonathan read it in our epistle. We know that no one can justify themselves before a holy and just God. That if we try to come before Him as a polluted sinner, we will surely die. You see, when your truth is based upon the worldly truth, you try to justify yourself. You try to declare that you are righteous. And that's what was happening in the church in Luther's time. And Luther realized that the people were being led astray. Not only were they being led astray, dearly beloved, they were being led directly into hell. For you see, truth is found. Truth is found in the Word. And the truth is Jesus Himself. Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. When a person tells you, well, I have my own truth, they are telling you that they don't believe in Jesus. Because you as a Christian should say, I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. And the truth is the one and only man who has died here for me. He is the one. He is the way. He is my life. He is Jesus, my Christ, my Savior. You see, a disciple of Jesus will know the truth. You'll know the truth from His Word. And not only will you know the truth, my friends, you will abide in it. Not only that, you will cling to it. You will hold fast to it. And you will live. That is His promise. For what does Jesus say? And the truth shall set you free. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a prison. A prison is the last place that I'd ever want to see any of you. And it's the last place that I'd want to be in. As I showed the kids last Wednesday a picture of a prison cell, I asked them what was missing. Well, yeah, there was no one in the cell, so they got that right. There was no one in the cell. There was no prisoner. But besides that, they gave me many answers. Then one young man raises his hand and says, what's missing is freedom. He's exactly right. For worldly truth will lock us in the prison cell of our sins. We put on the shackles of the evil one, and we are dragged right to hell. You see, those who refuse to abide in the Word, those who refuse to live in the truth, those who refuse to be free, even though they say they are free, they are truly slaves to sin, as Jesus told us in the Holy Gospel. And a slave to sin cannot inherit anything. It is the Son who inherits, and it is the Son who sets you free, and then gives you that free gift of inheritance. That's true freedom. You, my friends, are not in prison. You are here in this place this morning, and you know that you are free, because Jesus has opened the prison door for you. And the key that Jesus used to open your prison cell was His bloody cross. It's only in the bloody cross, there at the bloody cross, when Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished," your cell door popped open. It popped open so that you can walk out of it. And you are truly free because the Son has set you free. Therefore, you are free indeed. Yes, the Lord has set you free to abide, to cleave, to hold fast to His Word. The Son has set you free to be a true disciple. The Son has set you free so that you will know the truth and that you will know His freedom. And that freedom is this: sin no longer has any power over you. You will die. We saw that yesterday. A man will die. But when a man dies, a Christian man, when he dies, he is truly free, for he lives. That is Jesus' promise to Martha. And it is His promise to each and every one of you. We are free from that second death. And most of all, we are free from the power of the devil. The devil has no power over you. He can tempt you, yes, but he cannot lead you astray. For as you cling to the Word, you have the authority. You have the right, dear Christian, to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you do not think of the things of God, but of the things of man." That lie that man tells you, it's the same lie that Satan tells you, that you are free. You can do what you want. In this world, it's eat, drink, or be merry. Have fun. But that's worldly truth. It's not Jesus' truth. My friends, it comes down to this. And as we close, Luther wrote something very valuable for us. In one of his writings, he talked of the theology of the cross. And it's the cross that is so important to us. That's why here in this congregation, everywhere you look, even on the railing of the balcony, what do you see? You see a cross. Cross after cross after cross after cross after cross after cross after cross. For it is at the cross that you have been saved. We are not ashamed of the cross of Christ, for it is the power of salvation. It is the power of God. It is for the one who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God. And God has revealed this from faith for faith. For as Jesus tells us, the righteous shall live by faith in what Jesus has done for you. Today He is present. He is present for those of you who will come here to serve to you once again His body and blood, to once again set you free. For today, Jesus announces to each and every one of you, you truly are free, for the Son sets you free. And as you receive my body and blood, know that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is truth, and Jesus is your freedom. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.